Okay, so I thought today, in honor of Hanukkah coming up, we would actually shift gears from usually studying the Minchas Asher and his Sefer on Emunah to seeing one of his pieces on Hanukkah. As some of you may know, he has two different sets of Minchas Asher on the holidays. One is on Halacha and Lamdus, but he also has a three-volume set called Sichos Minchas Asher, which are Hashkafic, Agadic, Hasidic Torahs, deeper thoughts about the philosophy and the meaning and the pnimius of the various holidays. So the second volume begins with Hanukkah, and this particular piece is the very first piece in that section, the very first piece in that sefer. And he begins the piece by quoting the world-famous question of the Beis Yosef, as in Siman Tov Resh Ayin, Hilchos Pesach and Hilchos Chanukah, excuse me, who asks, "Madua kavu Chazal hadlik neros shmoni yamim? Why did they make a holiday of 8 days? Halo b'pach shemen shenimsa b'hayabo kedei lahadlik yom echad b'derech hateva v'neslo haya elo l'sheva yamim? After all, there was enough oil to last 1 day. The miracle, in fact, that the candle stayed lit for 8 days means that it was only miraculous for 7." The famous question of the Beis Yosef, why isn't Hanukkah a 7-day holiday? If naturally there was enough oil for 1 day, that means there was only a 7-day miracle. There should be, therefore, only a 7-day holiday. And yet, we know, of course, there is an 8-day holiday. Meot terutzim ne'amru v'nichtevu al kush yezu, says Rav Asher Weiss, and this is literally without exaggeration, hundreds of answers have been given to this question. It is probably the most widely discussed question in all of halachic literature. And Rav Asher Weiss actually points out that implicitly, already in a number of Rishonim, they asked this question before the Beis Yosef, and certainly from the time of the Beis Yosef, there have literally been hundreds of answers that have been suggested, both in Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod. All sorts of different kind of answers have been suggested. However, says Rav Asher, from all of the answers, Chaviv be'enai b'yoser, teretz pashut shemarti b'shachar ne'urai, ul'achar miken, I have found it, he says, in various signonot shonim b'mekorot rabim. Says Rav Asher Weiss, my favorite answer of all is an answer, he says, that he himself offered in his younger years. I have no idea if his younger years means he was a student or a teenager, or it means when he was just starting out as a Rebbe or Rosh Hashiva, but he refers to it as his younger years and his youth. And it's an answer which he says, he admits, he has since seen in various other Svarim, in various other formulations. I will tell you in advance that the very answer that he is going to suggest in a shortened form of it, many years ago I saw in the name of the Altar of Kelm, the great Musar master. And in fact, when I was having my Prubba Shabbos, my tryout Shabbos, almost 20 years ago on Miketz Shabbos Hanukkah in Baltimore, when I spoke a Shalosh Shudis, I gave over exactly this idea in the name of the Altar of Kelm. And it's now the idea which I'll share with you that Rav Asher Weiss, in his own unique way, develops based on various sources, some of which all those years ago I had discussed, and others of which he discusses on his own. And the starting basis of his analysis, again, to answer the question, why is this an 8-day holiday if there was really only a 7-day miracle, he bases himself, the anchor text, is an incredibly important and famous comment of the Ramban in the end of Parshas Bo. The initial context there is the Ramban trying to explain how come there are so many mitzvot which emphasize Zachiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, remembering the Exodus from Egypt. But in that context, the Ramban makes a incredibly startling and important claim, which is not only important, but it is incredibly significant, especially given the language that the Ramban uses. And the basic punchline Rav Asher Weiss quotes is as follows. The Ramban says, "Min hanisim hagedolim hamefursamim, from the big and great and famous public miracles, adamode benisim hanistarim shehem yisod haTorah kula. A person will come to acknowledge the hidden, quiet miracles, which are actually the foundation of the entire Torah." A person has no chelek, has no portion in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. You're not an authentic Jewish believer. You're not in the tent, as it were, if you don't believe that everything comes from Hashem, that everything is nisim, and ein behen teva umin hagosh al olam. There is no such thing as nature. or the nature of the world, the laws of nature. That's a short one or two sentence quote, but a lot is jam-packed in this quote. Let's unpack everything the Ramban says. And each one, each phrase, each nuance in the quote of the Ramban is significant and important. He starts off by saying, basically, and I think it's become, you know, almost de rigueur in the world of Mashava to speak of exactly what the Ramban is saying here, but as far as I know, he is the first one to formulate it, to teach it in the way that he does. Says the Ramban, there are two types of miracles, Tzvei Dinim and miracles. We generally think of a miracle as splitting the Red Sea, Kriyas Yamsuf, or the Ten Makos, or the Mon, or the things that happened at Har Sinai, and of course those are our miracles. But says the Ramban, that is a type of miracle, what he calls a Nes Nigla, or here he calls Hamafursamim, the public, famous, easily identifiable miracles. However, the Ramban also assumes that there's a second form of miracles, what he refers to as Nisim Nistarim, the hidden miracles. In other words, says Ramban, everything, as he continues to say, everything in the laws of nature, whether it's scientific laws like the law of gravity or all sorts of things like that, the sun rising, the sun setting, the fact that you have an impulse in your brain that tells your eyes to open and to look and to process information, all of those things, says Ramban, which you and I would call science or the laws of nature, in fact, they are all forms of miracles. They're all nisim nistarim. The fact is that they're hidden because they happen with regularity, with predictability, and they happen so often. So therefore, the fact that it's Yad Hashem, it's from Hashem, becomes hidden from notice. We don't really pay attention anymore. What you and I typically call a miracle, Ramban says that's a Nes Nigla. What makes it Nigla, revealed, or Mufursam, famous? Because it veers in one way or another from the predictable and the typical laws of nature. So all of a sudden the water splits, or a fire and ice come raining down from heaven, or any case you can imagine. So that's for sure a miracle, but in what sense? In the sense that it's veering off of the usual pattern of nature. But says Ramban, nature itself, and the very fact that there is a pattern of nature, is no less divine and no less miraculous. That foundation of the Ramban, he then takes a step further. And he says in his opening sentence, not only that there are two types of miracles, that's already an important statement, but which of the two are more important? So we might have assumed it's the big ones, it's the Kriyas Yamsufs. Says the Ramban, no. The whole purpose of those incredible, once in a, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years, or who knows, you know what, miracle, the purpose of those is so that we should realize that the Nisim Nistarim, that nature, is also divine and also miraculous. If all we do is get caught up with and say, wow, Hashem, you're amazing, you split the sea, that's better than not realizing it, that it's Hashem. That's much better than rationalizing it and explaining based on some meteorological explanation why it just happened to happen when the Jews were just about to go through and trapped with the Egyptians on the other side and chasing them. So acknowledging that the miracle is from Hashem is certainly step one. But says the Ramban, if all we do is realize that that great, out of the ordinary, breaking the laws of nature miracle is from Hashem, then we've actually missed the point. The reason Hashem, periodically in history, goes outside of nature, breaks the laws of nature, is to serve as a reminder that the laws of nature are from Him as well. Who can break the laws? Only the one who made the laws. If you wrote the code, you know how to change the code. Hashem wrote the code of the universe. He wrote the laws of nature. He's in charge. Because He's in charge, He has the ability to break the laws. You or I may want a miracle. You or I or some other person might want to break the laws of nature. We can't. And the fact is, the fact that we can't is indicative of the fact that we're not the balabatim, that we're not in charge, we didn't make nature, and we're not controlling it. The very fact that Hashem can break the law of nature as infrequently as He does, but the fact that He can even do it at all, is to remind us and to highlight that He is in fact the one who created and currently is in actively control of nature. So that's a second point, which is of course incredibly significant. Not only that there are two types of miracles, but that the ultimate point is not seeing Hashem every now and then when He breaks the laws of nature, but more importantly, is to realize that every day in every aspect of our lives, through the laws of nature, through what we call predictable science, that's also from Hashem. that's in fact just as miraculous. And then the last thing that the Ramban mentions, which is maybe the most extreme, he puts a value judgment on this. This is not just a belief. This is not something that happens to be true. This is the truth, the ultimate truth. Ad kerekachta, in the Ramban's view, if a person were to deny this, it's heresy. It's kfira. A person has no chelik b'Torah's Moshe until you believe that everything comes from Hashem. The Rav Asher Weiss summarizes in the next paragraph, he says, basically what the Ramban is coming to teach us is ein od milvado. At the end of the day, we shouldn't think that there's anything apart from Hashem. There's nothing else but Hashem. It's all just different manifestations of Hashem's hashkacha. The Rav Asher Weiss points out that even though this is so famous and so well known as a point of the Ramban, in perhaps different language, perhaps a little bit less extreme, but we have similar ideas in the Rambam as well. The opening statement of the Rambam in Hichos Yisodei HaTorah, Shekol HaNimtzu'im Mishamayim Aretz, Amashe B'neihem, Lo Nimtzu'u Ela Me'amitat Hemtza'o. Nothing from heaven to earth and anything in between exists without coming out of Hashem's decision to create it. Furthermore, he points out that the first of the Rambam's famous 13 principles of faith, the first of the Yud Gimel Ikarim is Ani Ma'amin Be'amuna Shalema Shabbara Baruch Yishmo Hu Borei Umanhig L'chol Abruim. Hashem is the one who created everything. Hu Levado Asa Ve'ose V'ya'ase L'chol Amasim. He is the one and only He who made, who makes, and will make everything. Kol Amasim Kulim, says Rav Asher Weiss. That's what the Rambam is saying. Everything. Even those which are nasimai, they kochos hateva haniflim ha'atzumim, even those which seem to be running by nature, they're all ultimately from Hashem. Hu levado asa v'osev yaseh l'chol ha'ma'asim. And in the next paragraph, Rav Asher Weiss points out something really, I think, important. As he says, the Ramban and the Rambam, two not only of our greatest thinkers, avos ha'chachma kula, but he says in a great understated line, lo min ha'batlonim hayu. It's not like the Rambam and the Ramban are two people who were just mevutal, removed from this world, sitting in the Beis Medrash in some cloistered environment, saying, oh, everything's from Hashem, everything's from Hashem. No, these two great Gedolim and Tzadikim were also Anshe Eshkolot, which is a rabbinic term of high praise that refers to a Renaissance man. Doesn't mean you're like a grapefruit, an Eshkoliot. It means Eshkolot means Ish Shakolbo. Means you have everything. You have a cluster of all of the great things. You're a Renaissance man. The Rambam, the Ramban, lo rak she'elohayu kamosam b'Torah u'b'chachma. Not only were they the greatest gedolim in Torah, but they also had all of the shleimus in philosophy, refuah, u'b'chol hamada'im kulam. It wasn't just the Rambam. The Ramban was also a great philosopher. The Ramban was also a doctor, maybe not of the Sultan. But the Rambam and the Ramban were both Renaissance men and men of science and philosophy at the highest levels in their day. Yadu gam yadu sha'olam bin nahel b'chukiyot muflau b'seder muftik shek'ilo nigzar mirosh. As much as anyone could have known in their generation, they knew about all the laws of science. They understood how incredible the world was. B'chukiy ha'teva ha'muflaim heim shekovim et ha'mahalach ha'tivi shel olam umlo'o. They knew, as much as anyone knew in their day, all the laws of science and how the world seemed to be working based on those laws. And yet, shabo ela shabo lahoyir aseinenu b'havona pshuta, but rather, not despite, but dafka, because of their great knowledge of science and the natural world, they came to remind us and teach us this important and simple and straightforward truth. Shekol ela kochos ha'nifloim, Ratzon Hashem HaPashut Hema. All of those laws of nature are laws that were put in place and are continued expressions of Ratzon Hashem. Kayamim Heim Mishim Shenivru Aide Yotzer Bereishis HaMakayim Oso Tamid Shari HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mecharesh B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh Bereishis, as we say in davening every day. Yes, there are laws of nature. The Rambam knew them, the Ramban knew them as much as anyone could in their day. We have even more scientific knowledge now, obviously. But what they're telling us, which is no different now as it was in their day, is that Hashem made and continues to sustain those laws of nature. They are no less expressions of the Ratzon Hashem than things which go beyond and break those very laws. The type of things that people on the street call miracles are no more divine actions than the very laws of nature which we all take for granted in our life. Rav Asher Weiss actually then goes on to mention a very incredible point of Jewish history, which I admit I had never previously known. He refers to a great Rav, who he refers to as the Rav in London, Rav David Nito, who I did look up a little bit, although I don't know too much about, but he died, I think, in 1728. So he was a great late 17th, early 18th century rabbinic leader. He was the Rav of a Sephardic community in London. And he was, in his day, kind of like the NCSY or the Kiruv worker par excellence. Maybe Kiruv worker is not the right way of putting it. But he did, in the best sense of the word, he was the greatest one of apologetics. When Torah and Judaism were under attack in his generation, he was the one who, with the most scholarship and the most charisma and being articulate as he was able to write and speak to defend Torah and traditional Judaism. In fact, he wrote a book, which you can actually find nowadays. I think Mossad Rav Kook has reprinted it, which is, I can't remember what its official name was, but it's known as, and you can even, you know, Google it, you'll see the book is known as, I think it's called HaKuzari HaSheni, or HaKuzari HaChadash. I think it's HaKuzari HaSheni, something like that, which is basically his book of restating and arguing Jewish faith and the truth of veracity of Jewish faith. But like the original Kuzari, written by Rav Yehuda Halevi, which is also a book of great Jewish faith and philosophy, and the Kuzari there, Rav Yehuda Halevi, instead of just writing a kind of a dry textbook, gives over, in fact, this philosophical and religious truths in the form of a fictitious conversation between different people. So this Rav David Nieto, also in his generation, did something similar, and he gained tremendous acclaim for this work. Anyway, Rav Asher Weiss mentions this Rav, who, again, I have to admit, I didn't really know anything about until now, how he, at some point in one of his talks, mentioned, I guess, a point that was very similar to this, that Hashem Yisbarach v'hateva hakol echad, that everything is really one. And it says here that he was getting widely criticized and attacked by other people. Now, I'm not sure, and I didn't have a chance to look this up, was he being attacked from the left or the right? That I'm not sure. But either way, Rav Asher Weiss points out that the Gadol Hador in that time was Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi, otherwise known as the Chacham Tzvi, the father of Rav Yaakov Emden, who at the time was a Rav in Amsterdam. And in a tshuva, Chelek Aleph Siman Yud Ches, Chacham Tzvi is asked about this statement of Rav David Nieto, and he defends him. He says, of course it's true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's Mashiv HaRuach. He is the one who's Morid HaGeshamim. He is the one who makes everything go. And therefore, there's nothing to discuss. Of course, nature and Hashem are one in the sense that Hashem is the one who's actively operating and pushing nature through. Really an interesting source and perhaps worthy of some other, more further investigation into that historical story and that particular tshuva. But getting back to Rav Asher Weiss in this piece, he points out in a few other sources as well where we see this idea. For example, something which I admit I did not know previously, that Rabbeinu Bachaye, in his commentary on Bereishis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Dalid, tells us that the different names of Hashem reflect different aspects. Now, that's not a unique approach to Rabbeinu Bachaye. If I remember correctly, the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, Kuzari, and others also discuss why there are different names of Hashem. Obviously, as believing Jews, we don't, God forbid, Rahmanul Islam, think that this means that there were different authors or different or multiple gods. So rather, I think all the Rishonim agree with the basic approach that the different names of Hashem reflect different aspects of Hashem's interaction with the world. The same way in L'Havdia, our own interactions, our spouses know us one way, our children another way, our coworkers a third way, the people in the shul a fourth way. We're all the same person, but people know different sides of us. So the different names of Hashem reflect different sides or different viewpoints that we have of Hashem. And the Rishonim maybe disagree on what each name represents, but I think that overall scheme is relatively commonly held. And Rabbeinu Bachai apparently also accepts this, and he points out that Shem Elokim is Mora al Ateva. So it sounds like what he's saying, I didn't have a chance to look this up inside, but it sounds like what he's saying is that the word Elohim refers to the God through nature, Hashem through nature, the God of nature, whereas Yudke Vavke refers to the Hashem who was, so to speak, before or above nature. So again, the point here being, and this is clearly why Rav Asher Weiss is quoting it, is that just like there could be different names of Hashem referring to different aspects of Hashem, nature is just another aspect of Hashem. It's another way Hashem works through the world. Sometimes he interacts with the world in a very obvious way, and other times he does it in a more hidden way. But either way, it's all Hashem, and we see that from this insight this observation of Rabbeinu Bachai as well. Finally, we get to the last section of the essay. Rav Asher Weiss gets to a very famous and important Gemara. In fact, going back, as I mentioned at the beginning, all those years ago when I spoke in that Shal Shunus in Baltimore, it was the Ramban and then this Gemara, which I anchored my words in, and that is the Gemara in Tainus and Daf Chavei Amar Aleph. And it speaks about the famed Tana, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, who was known as a miracle worker. Shayapol Yeshuos, the Kerav Aretz, Sidkosav, Tfilosav. And the Gemara in various places mentions his incredible powers. And the Gemara there in Tainus, however, tells the story, Kishabal Lafan of Bito, Behitlo Nana, She'en Biadash, Sheman Lahalikat Aner, Lechvot Shabbos. She didn't have the right oils to make a really clear and strong flame. And she was worried because all she had was kind of a vinegar, and she was worried that it would just be a weak flame that would not really stay lit. To which her father responded, and he said, Biti, my ichbat lach. Why are you concerned? Why are you worried? Mish amar l'shemen v'yedlok, hu yomar l'chometz v'yedlok. The same Hashem, the same person, the same being who said and who determines that oil is flammable, that oil will remain lit and illuminate a fire and create a flame, can just as easily and just in the same way do the same thing with chometz, with vinegar. It's no different. As Rav Asher Weiss analyzes this Gemara, he points out in the next paragraph, Lo min ha-nes yeshlit ba'el. When we imagine, we learn this Gemara, we say, wow, his daughter lit vinegar and it stayed lit. The amazing part of that Gemara is not that the vinegar remained lit. After all, says Rav Asher Weiss, Rav Chanina Medosa was someone who regularly had miracles in his house and in his environment. Rather, should we take from this particular Gemara? Ela min ha-lashon ha-nisgava yesh lihitpa'am. It's the impact on us should be the formulation, the language that Chinia ben Dosa used speaking to his daughter. Eitzar Chinia ben Dosa had varim pshutim, because it was obvious, it was simple, self-evident to him. Ein ben shemen lechometz velo klum. Ultimately, there's no difference between oil and vinegar. The same one who says l'shemen v'yedlok, so too that same one is the person, the being, Hashem, who could say that vinegar should be flammable. Ein behem teva min hagosh la'olam. There's nothing that's more or less natural or more or less divine. They're all the same. Just like the Rambam had taught us, hu levado osev osev yasel chalamasim. Ein hateva kulo el retzon elyon bilvad. If all of nature is really an expression of Hashem's will, then he can will oil to be flammable, but he could just as easily, if he so desired, will vinegar to be flammable. Im Kain, what's the quote that's so powerful, or of Chanina Mendoza? My ichpat lach. Why are you making a big deal about this? Why are you nervous? If you realize that even the oil is from Hashem, then it should be no big deal, no biggie, for you to imagine that Hashem can do it with vinegar as well. Mish amar l'shemen v'yedlok, hu yomar l'chometz v'yedlok. Now this, again, we have seen, we started with Ramban, we saw the Rambam, we saw the Chacham Tzvi in Rav David Nieto, we mentioned Rabbeinu Bachaye, now we have the Gemara in Tainus, all of which were to underscore and make one point, that on some level, there is no such thing as nature as an independent force detached from Hashem. It's all ultimately an expression of Hashem's will, just that sometimes Hashem sets processes in motion. We call that nature. It comes regularly, it comes predictably. At other times, he throws a curveball. He goes with the off-speed pitch, and he breaks from those rules. He varies to a degree or another, and all of a sudden we notice it. Whoa, what happened there? But really, ultimately, it's all from Hashem. Based on all of that background and that theological assertion, now Rav Asher Weiss wheels it back in and says, now we can go back to Hanukkah. We ask the question, the Beis Yosef's famous question with hundreds and hundreds of answers, no exaggeration, the most famous question in probably all of halachic literature, why is Hanukkah 8 days if there's only a 7-day miracle? And the answer, he says now, is follows, based on everything we've been seeing from the Rambam, the Ramban, and Rav Chanina Mendoza, Margishim Anu, She'ein Bein Hayom Harishon, Liyom Hashmini V'lo Klum. From the perspective of Ratzon Hashem and God's guiding hand, there was no difference between when the candles lit in the Beis Hamikdash on the first day or on the 8th day. Umi she'amar l'shemen v'yidlok yom echad, Yomar l'shemen v'yidlok shmoni yamim. Just like one can say, the same being who said, there's enough oil in this jar to remain lit for one day, that same being, that same force, that same HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with just as much ease could decide that that amount of oil is sufficient for 8 days. It is no different. From Hashem's perspective, it is the same thing. Just like it would be no different to make vinegar flammable than it is oil, it is no different to make oil light for 1 day or 8 days. It's all an expression of Ratzon Hashem. Just one is predictable, and one was a surprise. And therefore, Rav Asher Weiss concludes, U'mishum kach madlikin anu shmoni yamim. That's why we celebrate for 8 days. Yom echad keneg ranisim anistarim. The first day, and this is especially important, here I'm editorializing, but I think it's clear, especially on that first night of Hanukkah, we need to remind ourselves and our families, why are we lighting on the first night? Wasn't that natural? Wasn't that obvious? That was scientific, so to speak, that the candles would light in the base of Mikdash. They had oil for 1 day. No, we light on that first day because even that is an expression of God's kindness, His benevolence, His will manifest in this world. That oil should be flammable and light for a day. And then we continue lighting another week. Shiva yamim nosafim, another 7 days. Keneged hanisim hamuforsamim. As the Ramban taught us, there's two types of miracles, two types of ways Hashem is interacting in the world. The hidden, predictable way, but that's no less Ratzon Hashem than the unpredictable, surprising, more revealed way. And we in fact have an 8-day holiday to underscore and to remind ourselves and to reinforce this essential religious and theological truth that ultimately it's all from Hashem. And therefore we celebrate and commemorate day one no less than the next 7 days. As Rav Asher Weiss so beautifully ends his piece from the famous paragraph that we know and love and sing, B'nei Vina Yemei Shmona Kavu Shir Uranana. Those who are B'nei Vina, people who are truly understanding, people who truly understand and are deep thinkers and appreciate what the Torah and what Chazal are trying to teach us, we realize Yemei Shmona Kavu Shir Urananim. It's not just 7 days, but it's 8 days. But you have to be a B'nei Vina. If you just look superficially, you'd think it was only 7 days of celebration would be worthy. But if you're a B'nei Vina, if you're a deep and understanding person, you have wisdom and a spiritual eye, then you realize that it's, in fact, an 8-day holiday is appropriate because that first day is no less from Hashem, and in that sense miraculous, than the remaining and additional 7.